You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. When it comes to finding a pathway to helping an addict to recovery, most people and most courts think of Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. The popular view is that AA and NA, these 12-step programs, are the only ways to get and stay clean and sober. But there are other options like Smart Recovery, Life Ring, Buddhist Recovery. And for some, these alternatives can do what the 12-step programs can't. We'll continue now with our series, Minding Michigan, as we explore mental health issues. And with us now, Chris Odrosky, who works at Home of New Vision, an addiction recovery center. Chris is a recovering alcoholic, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Caitlin Darfler is here with us. She is recovering from heroin addiction. Caitlin, thanks for being here.
Yeah. Hi.
Chris, so you work at an addiction recovery agency, and you are in recovery, 8 years sober?
I will have 8 years in October, correct.
Congratulations on that. What was it about AA, about Alcoholics Anonymous, that didn't work for you?
Every time I was introduced to 12-step meetings, and usually it was a nudge from the judge, as they say, it was because I had done something to where I was required to go. That's one barrier right there, is that I'm forced to go. And then initially it was the higher power issue.
You mean God? You're working
the
in
God,
the God thing?
Yeah, also known as the God thing.
The God thing. Okay.
And I had been agnostic and atheist most of my life, and that I struggled with that aspect of it immediately. And also the powerlessness word itself I struggled with.
Talk about that powerlessness word.
Well, when you come into a 12-step community, 12-step meetings, you're told that you're powerless over alcohol or whatever substance that you do. And sometimes that can get misinterpreted through the individuals in the program. The program itself says that we were powerless, and it says were instead of are. So over time, it took me a while to kind of focus on that. But then sometimes the individuals within the community, in my opinion, kind of take it too far. Like, you're powerless over everything. You're a powerless person.
So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm powerless.
Right.
So what can I do?
What can I do? I'm powerless.
Okay.
And that ties into the higher power thing, because for someone like myself that I believe to be a little more action-oriented, I enjoyed the action steps of the 12 steps. I did not enjoy the spiritual aspect of the program or the religious aspect of the program. So when you were saying things like, I'm powerless, I must give it to God. And sometimes for someone like me, it didn't work well.
That's setting up a friction that you don't need as you are working to your recovery.
Correct.
Caitlin, you're recovering from heroin addiction and clean more than how many days?
I think it's 122 today.
Oh, well, congratulations on that. What didn't work for you with Narcotics Anonymous meetings?
Oh, my gosh. Very similar story to Chris. I mean, the whole thing started with me being like an atheist and not really jiving with the whole higher power thing, because they tell you it can be anything when you go there. But to me, it really felt like a bait and switch. Like, the longer you're there, the more they expect you to like come to God and have like some sort of spiritual awakening. And they do talk about the spiritual awakening aspect of it. And for me, like, I tried so hard. I tried rewriting the steps in a way that made sense to me, or I could apply to my life somehow. But even like the language, you were powerless, I still to this day disagree with that, because I was the one that got myself sober. I was the one that took action while I was using to get into rehab. You know, no one forced me. I never had any record or problems with the court. So to me, again, it's like that action-oriented thing. I took the steps I needed. I understand where it comes from, because, when you're physically dependent on something, you can't really just stop without there being consequences. It's like having a gun to your head. You still have a choice.
As you have been through this process of seeking recovery, and it's a struggle, isn't it? Because you've been through, what, about 8 inpatient treatment programs? Tell us about that.
In about 2 years. So I started using in about 2013, like daily IV heroin use. And for about a year, there weren't really any consequences per se, other than, you know, being dope sick occasionally if I couldn't get drugs. But after that year, I realized like I needed to do something. It wasn't cool anymore. I didn't have that like junkie pride they talk about. I didn't feel like I could continue this lifestyle. I was either going to die or just be useless for the rest of my life. And so I went to my first inpatient rehab, stayed there the whole time, and I did really well for about 90 days. I was trying the whole NA thing and kind of experimenting with it, getting into it. And so much of it I saw, and I'm definitely biased, and I'll say that straight off. I don't mean to offend anyone that gets success from NA, but the meetings that I went to were filled with negativity, and I've been to meetings all over Metro Detroit, and there were certainly good meetings too, but so much of it was like how bad my day was, how bad my life is going, telling the same stories over and over again.
War stories.
War stories. Yeah, that's what they call it. And don't get me wrong, there are certainly people there that talk about useful things.
So it wasn't clicking. You go through this in and out of treatment programs. Mm-hmm. At what point and how did you hear about something that was an alternative?
Oh,
something different. What was that like?
I'm so angry it took so long. I didn't even hear it from anybody in any of the rehabs I was in. My friend, I found out a friend from a long time ago had gotten a DUI and she was, I guess, required through the courts to attend some sort of program. And she was in Kalamazoo, I believe. And they allowed her to do smart recovery online since there were no smart recovery meetings out there. And she explained to me, you know, it's science-based. And so I was like, oh, really? Let me check this out. And I was just like, wow, these people are actually here and working on things they can do to stay sober as opposed to just talking.
Chris, as you work with people who are struggling, recovering, and staying there, do you find often that people don't know that there are other options? Because I could just see how angry Caitlin's face was when she's like, I just had to wait so long. Is that a story you hear a lot?
Yes. I work with clients at Home of New Vision, and when I get around to telling them, usually it's one of the first things I say. That's part of my job is to get them informed as quickly as possible once they become a client at Home of New Vision. I'm not a clinician. I try to stay away from that as much as possible. I like being a peer. I like being able to do different things. I like being able to research these pathways, which is what they've allowed me to do over the last couple years. Most people have no idea that there's any other options out there, or if they have heard, they're getting poor information.
As in?
As in, they believe smart recovery is a moderation program. They sometimes even think that's what the M stands for. Because they hear the word management, they think it might have something to do with moderation. And that's not the case. It's an abstinent-based program. All the programs that Home of New Vision promote, all the meetings that we encourage our clients to go to, are all abstinence-based. They might not all be faith-based or spiritual-based, but that's not the point. The point is clients go to treatment to find abstinence, an abstinence lifestyle, recovery. And through these multiple pathways, which includes the 12 steps, I want to say that too. Yeah. You can't have a multiple pathways program without the 12 steps. Just because it didn't work for Caitlin and I, we figured out a way for it to work for both of us. I heard Caitlin said this very similar thing to what I did. I focused heavily on the action steps and kind of left the spiritual stuff aside. Because they say, take what you need and leave the rest. And I took that quite literally. And we leave that option up for our clients, too. While they're in treatment, they learn about these multiple pathways. And when they leave treatment, it's up to them to decide what pathway works best for them or any combination thereof. Because people are only going to be in treatment for so long.
Then they have to live their lives.
Then they have to go out into the world and be people like everybody else. And it's up to them to figure out what pathway works best for them.
I'm speaking with Chris Odrosky, who works at Home of New Vision, an addiction recovery agency. He is in recovery, 8 years sober, having dealt with alcoholism, and also talking with Caitlin Darfler, who is recovering from heroin addiction, over 100 days clean right now. For both of them, the traditional pathways of AA and NA, Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, didn't work. And Caitlin, smart recovery did work for you. What was it and how does it work?
I make meetings when I can. We have a lot in Detroit, luckily.
And how do they differ? What's the meeting? What is it about that meeting that's working for you in a way that the NA meeting didn't?
If I could be funny for a second, we have acronyms and not isms. I like that. No, I just, there's actually tools we use. It's kind of set up like a class with a facilitator like Chris. We go over things that will actually help us.
Give me an idea of a tool that you've learned through this that you can say, yep, that has really helped me to be where I am right now, which is saying that over 100 days now since I've used.
Well, my favorite is probably the cost-benefit analysis, which is essentially a glorified pros and cons list. But we make a sometimes we do it in class, like on a chalkboard or whatever. Well, not a chalkboard. Gosh, I'm so old. On a whiteboard. I mean, you can do it for anything, but the first one you usually do is about like your drug of choice and like the pros of using. You write that like on the left-hand column and then the cons of using. And then on the bottom, the pros of stopping using and then the cons of stopping using. And you go through, and if you do that on your own and you're really honest and open, writing it out is such a different experience. It was like a revelation for me. I'm just like, oh, and the best part is after you write out all those things, you go through and you mark which ones are short-term effects and which ones are long-term effects. It shows the balance. When you see it, that just short term. It's fleeting.
That's short term. That the long term benefits are the work you need to do.
Yeah,
they're great. They're great to do at a meeting too.
For sure.
Once people kind of come out of their shell, it's odd sometimes when you tell a group of people, let's talk about the pros of using and drinking. And
people don't want to address it.
But when I say, don't worry. Mm-hmm. I will not let you leave just talking about that. The surprise at the end or the aha moment is, okay, now look at these and see what are short-term benefits and what are long-term benefits.
And what's that slogan you were saying, change?
Change your thinking, change your behavior.
There you go.
When we get urges or cravings, we use kind of the thought as if we're being attacked by these urges or cravings. So the best thing to do is disarm the enemy. So one way of disarming the enemy is making it silly. Or giving it a voice, giving it something to personify the addictive voice, which is addictive voice is something that's used in a lot of non-12-step.
Yeah, rational recovery.
Rational recovery uses it as well. So the addictive voice is basically the voice that you hear in your head saying, hey, let's go have a drink or let's go use. Mm-hmm. To disarm that voice one way, and again, it sounds silly, but it works, is to give it a funny voice.
Yeah. Mine's Veruca Salt from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. She's like, I want drugs now, you know.
And you can laugh at it.
Exactly.
It takes the power away.
Yeah, it's not me. My thoughts are not me.
Gilbert Gottfried is another popular
one. That's a good one. So how does Gilbert Gottfried talk?
Nothing.
No, but I know what you're saying. Make it ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And as you just said, that's not me. So Caitlin's not saying that is what
exactly.
You're saying. Caitlin can make that go away.
Just chemicals in your brain essentially telling you because you learn these habits. You learn that the drugs give you pleasure. So your brain tells you you need more of it, just like anything, like food or water. And
Chris, what else do you hear from the people that you're working with who say, you know what, this is working for me and whatever the program may be in a way that AA or NA doesn't?
People, first off, seem to appreciate just having the choice. Sure. Whether it works for them this time around or not, they really do appreciate the fact that there is a group of people, there is an agency, there's organizations out there that are trying to promote. And we're going up against, you know, we're not going up against that, but as far as marketing goes, you know, the 12-step groups have been around for 80 years.
Which is probably why no one thinks of these newer alternatives.
When SMART's been around for over 20, LifeRing's been around for 10 or so years, and Refuge Recovery was the Buddhist meeting that you mentioned. They've been around for, I think, 10 plus years, if that. But I know SMART, because I took the training, I know for a fact that they've been around for 20 years. So it's hard to compete with that level of marketing. Everyone knows about 12 steps. 12 steps are in Hollywood TV shows and movies. I've never seen any other type of recovery other than a treatment center than 12 steps in any type of television show or movie. For a client to come up to us and say, just thank you for giving me these other options. When I can actually see someone engaging in these, they take what they need and they leave the rest from all the different meetings.
So there's no one size fits all. So it lets me tailor something to my personality, my addiction, my needs.
Yep.
I still gain certain things from all the things that I've learned when I was in early recovery, which was primarily 12-step and outpatient treatment. I enjoyed my outpatient treatment sometimes more than my 12-step meetings, which I guess kind of led me on that pathway to a SMART recovery meeting because there's a lot of things that are in SMART recovery that are taken from the clinical world. When I had 3 or 4 years, I was really kind of burning out, I guess, on the 12 steps, and I enjoyed being in recovery, but I didn't know what else to do. I was kind of upset, like Caitlin, when I found out that there were other meetings. Yeah. I was also upset to find out that they were pretty far away.
There weren't too many.
And, you know, 10 years ago, the internet wasn't as available as it was now.
What do you think has to happen to make more people aware that there are other options? Not AA may work for you, NA may work for you, but if it's not, there are other options.
They need to get this stuff in treatment centers. I mean, honestly, because even my peer recovery coach, who I love to this day and still go to his meetings, he didn't even know what SMART recovery was. I'm like, how are these people not getting this information? I mean, I literally had a counselor there tell me that if I did not get involved in NA or the 12 steps, I was doomed to fail and would probably die. That was a counselor. That was someone with their college degree in this stuff.
So it sounds like
more training and
more awareness in the field itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are groups called recovery community organizations, or RCOs, and there's a local group in Washtenaw County called Washtenaw Recovery Advocacy Project, and they have done a lot of work. I'm a member of that group as well. They've done a lot of work on advocating for recovery. And we've done events where we've tried to promote these multiple pathways. RCOs work independently of treatment agencies and any other agency. It's a nonprofit group of people that are in recovery from addiction and friends and family of those. Either they've had someone that they've lost or they've friends and family of people that are success stories. And they all get together and they plan walks and rallies. But a lot of times I look at it, and I'm not just saying that with the Washtenaw group. I'm saying it with all the groups. They're not directly tied to treatment centers, but they're connected because they're links. They can help people get to treatment. A lot of times I feel that we're preaching to the converted. And I know I'm an atheist using that term, which might be kind of funny. But I do believe that a lot of times we are preaching to the converted, and we need to cast a wider net and get to the people that don't know. So, I mean, being on this show is obviously very helpful. I've had the opportunity to speak at opioid awareness groups. I've talked to social workers at hospitals. I would love an opportunity to talk to doctors and judges as well, because they're also ones that really need to know that there are these other pathways. I've had the opportunity to go to the local hospitals through connections with the social work teams there. And when they have people that are in the hospital for having something to do with substance use, I'm able to go in there and just talk to them and let them know that these other options are there. Treatment is great too, but like I said earlier, you eventually have to leave treatment. Even if it's outpatient, you eventually will get discharged. If you're doing good, you will eventually get discharged, and you still need something, some sort of self-help.
Caitlin, where do you think you would be right now if you had not found Smart Recovery?
Probably in rehab again. I don't know. So much of what I've learned in Smart Recovery has helped me personally, because it's like cognitive behavioral therapy type stuff. So it's really working on yourself. But the thing this time that's really changed is last few times I was in Oakdale, I spent so much of that time, especially when we had to do 12-step stuff, like talking about Smart Recovery, telling the clients about it, telling my counselors about it, telling my peer recovery coach about it. Being able to actually like affect the system has been so satisfying. And I know that's like a tenet of the 12 steps, actually, is like giving back and service work. And actually with another SMART facilitator, we've gone back to Oakdale and done some SMART presentations. It's so gratifying to me.
Do you think you could see yourself doing what we're seeing Chris do?
That's the goal.
Yeah. You guys share really compelling stories, Chris Odrosky and Caitlin Darfler. We want to thank you so much for sharing this and spreading the word and giving people listening the idea that there could be another pathway.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.